A free market think tank says congestion pricing is the answer. ATG employees get pink slips for Christmas. And a Florida congressman wants NASA to keep the shuttles flying. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, December 19th, 2007. A new study by the Reason Foundation says congestion pricing would be an ideal solution to delays caused by peak congestion at the major New York area airports. Robert Poole, Director of Transportation Studies at the Foundation and an advisor to the last four U.S. presidential administrations, notes that while the airline industry appears to have the political influence to defeat the Bush administration's congestion pricing proposal, the industry's arguments against such a plan don't hold water. The airlines complain that peak pricing won't work because there are no off-peak times in New York. The Reason Foundation counters that there are definite peaks and valleys in the schedule, and that sophisticated modeling shows that peak fees of $1,200 per plane at LaGuardia would significantly reduce delays, while peak fees of $2,000 per plane at JFK, or $10 a passenger on a 200-seat aircraft, would reduce the queue of planes awaiting takeoff by one-third. The airlines also claim that congestion pricing would give an unfair advantage to foreign airlines, but Poole says congestion pricing is fully compatible with international aviation law, so there's no basis for exempting foreign airlines, and the playing field remains level. The Reason study suggests any revenues raised through the fees should be required to be spent on capacity improvements at the three major New York airports. It's especially tough to hear these stories at this time of year, but Aviation Technology Group, which has been developing the Javelin personal jet, laid off 40 of its remaining 50 employees on Monday. Based at Centennial Airport near Denver, ATG has been seeking additional funding from its partner, Israel Aerospace, and earlier in the year hired Citigroup to help it find another $200 million in investment. Board member Horst Bergman told the Denver Post the company will help the displaced employees find new jobs, and added that while the company is technically still operating, quote, that may change one way or the other this week or this month, unquote. The company has taken 100 orders for the Javelin with deposits of $25,000 per plane. A Florida congressman says he's introducing a bill to hold off retiring NASA's space shuttle fleet another 5 years until the Orion spacecraft is ready to fly in 2015. NASA's current plan is to retire the shuttles in 2010 and pay the Russian space agency to transport our astronauts to the International Space Station. But Republican Congressman David Weldon says, quote, for us to be totally putting the goal of getting our astronauts into space in the hands of the Russians, I think is very, very bad foreign policy, unquote. Even NASA supporters in Washington are reportedly rolling their eyes. Weldon's plan would spend at least $10 billion, and other proposals for even a tenth that amount have been promised a veto by the Bush administration. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin estimates it would take $4 billion a year to keep the shuttle fleet flying, which is double what Weldon has proposed. Weldon admitted to Florida Today that his proposal and its timing have economic and political components. Of the thousands of jobs in his district which depend on shuttle operations, he says, quote, I want a soft landing. I don't want to drive NASA and the KSC workforce over a cliff, unquote. Of the timing, a month before his state's presidential primary, he notes, quote, the timing on this is deliberate. This needs to be a national debate, unquote. In what was no doubt intended as a signal to North Korea, the Japanese military successfully destroyed a mid-range ballistic missile with a ship-launched interceptor on Monday. This is the first time a U.S. ally has conducted a test like this on its own. The interceptor missile was launched from the JS Congo with help from Raytheon, which built the missile, and support from the USS Lake Erie, a guided missile cruiser based at Pearl Harbor. What was left unsaid in official news releases is that this test is important in countering the threat that comes from Japan's less-than-friendly neighbors, North Korea and, to a lesser extent, China. Tokyo has invested heavily in missile defense technology since North Korea fired a long-range missile over northern Japan in 1998, then launched 7 missiles during a series of what were called tests in July of 2006. Monday's test was the 12th successful intercept for the Aegis Ballistic Missile Defense System's SM-3, which detected the warhead after it separated from its booster missile. Up next on ANN, airlines say 2008 will be another profitable year. Senator Schumer brokers a ceasefire between helicopters and NIMBYs. and corporate life is tough when France and Germany are your stockholders. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 19th, 2007. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Analysis released on Monday by the Air Transport Association says airline profits for 2007 should be ahead of 2006 levels, and that 2008 will be another profitable year, despite increasing fuel costs and signs of a slowing economy. ATA's John Heimlich told the Dayton Daily News he projects an industry net profit of $5 billion in 2007, up from $3 billion last year. The seven major carriers in the industry association report $2.4 billion in profits through 2007's third quarter. That's up from $1.9 billion at the same time last year. Heimlich credited reductions in labor costs, better fuel efficiency, renegotiated leases, overseas expansion, and increasing revenues from cargo, maintenance, and repair for the improved profits, which come as oil hovers around $90 a barrel. Heimlich tells the paper his 2008 projections are based on oil at $80 a barrel. The Associated Press reports that an initiative by New York Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat, had resulted in an agreement by members of the Eastern Region Helicopter Council to stay above 2,500 feet while flying over heavily populated areas of Long Island. The signatories include the senator, the council, and East Hampton and Gabreski airports. The agreement came after Schumer threatened federal regulation to deal with resident complaints of low-level helicopter flights, which have rattled windows and interrupted conversations. The agreement will also route helicopters over Long Island Sound and the Pine Barrens woodlands. Schumer says the agreement includes, quote, the necessary checks and compliance measures to crack down on rogue operators who violate the rules, unquote. It's not clear just what he means by that, since the council is a trade group with no legal authority, but presumably rogue operators means those who choose not to support the organization. AP did not get a reply from the council to its request for comment. Here's why you don't want governments as stockholders when you're trying to save a company. Eads is trying to sell or partner some of its plants as part of its Power 8 restructuring plan. Without action, the company could be in trouble after posting huge losses related to delays in its A380 and A350 development programs. U.S.-based Spirit AeroSystems is reportedly close to wrapping up a deal for four of those plants as soon as this Friday. Unions have tried to throw a stick in the spokes of that deal, and that's to be expected. But now comes an unnamed source in the French president's office telling Reuters, quote, as a shareholder, the French state makes sure that industrial competencies are kept in France. We will intervene if necessary, unquote. Eads CEO Louis Gallois shocked officials when he flatly said plane maker Airbus might build a new plant in the state of Alabama to assemble its planes to take advantage of the current weakness of the U.S. dollar versus the euro. But the French government source quoted by Reuters called those temporary market conditions and said France might respond with tax incentives to keep manufacturing there. At the same time, Germany, also a stakeholder in Eads, is the current location of three of those four plants Spirit wants to buy. An unnamed government representative there told Focus magazine, quote, we want a German solution for the German plants that are for sale, unquote. Eads officials are meeting today to discuss the sale of those plants. This all raises a few questions. Did Eads announce its intentions in Alabama just to start a tax incentive bidding war in Europe? What will happen to the Eads case at the World Trade Federation, where it has complained that Boeing's tax incentives amount to government subsidies? And when will all these unnamed government sources let us start using their names? The Air Force marked the 104th anniversary of powered flight on Monday by completing the first transcontinental flight of an aircraft using a blend of regular Jet A and synthetic fuel. The C-17 Globemaster III lifted off shortly before dawn at McCord Air Force Base in Washington and arrived in the early afternoon at McGuire Air Force Base in New Jersey, where it was greeted by Secretary of the Air Force Michael W. Wynn, New Jersey Congressman Jim Saxton, and a number of officials from the airline and energy industries. The flight follows successful testing of the fuel blend in C-17 engines in October and is the next step in the Air Force's effort to have its entire C-17 fleet certified to use the mixture. As ANN reported, U.S. Air Force officials certified B-52 Stratotankers to use that mixture in August and hope to certify the fuel blend for use in all the services aircraft within 5 years. The congressman noted, quote, "The Air Force alternative fuel program is as important to the nation as it is to the Air Force because it keeps focus on alternative fuels by the largest user of fuel in the U.S. government. We must continue to support the research to find cleaner, more environmentally friendly fuels that include both renewable and unconventional fuel," unquote. Still ahead, American Airlines will recall up to 250 furloughed maintenance workers. At least three countries want more Northrop E-2Ds. And airline employment is up this year. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, December 19, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports American Airlines will recall up to 250 maintenance workers across the nation as it gears up for additional work in 2008. The company says specific projects include landing gear overhauls on Boeing 777s and 737s and American Eagle regional jets, and the installation of new business class seats on some planes. The airline is also soliciting outside maintenance work from other airlines. American's maintenance bases in Fort Worth, Kansas City, and Tulsa will all need more workers, as will maintenance operations at airports elsewhere. These needs will be met where possible by recalling furloughed workers, but new hires will fill the needs if laid-off workers lack the needed skills. John Conley, the Transport Workers Union rep for American Airlines workers, tells the paper the move gives employees a stronger sense of the financial stabilization of the company. The airline has also been recalling furloughed pilots, and last week said it will recall 247 flight attendants next year, mainly to fill vacancies caused by retirements. In a move analysts attribute in part to concern over nearby Taliban fighters, China's Xinhua News Agency quotes an upcoming issue of India Strategic Defense magazine that states the U.S. government is willing to sell Northrop Grumman's advanced E-2D surveillance plane to India for use by its Navy. The sale would need to be approved by the U.S. Departments of Defense and State under the Foreign Military Sales Act. Northrop has confirmed India's interest. And India's not alone. The Pentagon's Defense Security Cooperation Agency's website indicates Congress was notified earlier this month of a possible foreign military sale to the United Arab Emirates, consisting of upgrades and refurbishments of E-2C aircraft. The C model entered service with the Navy in the early 1970s, and the Navy still has them in use. In October, Congress was also notified of a possible E-2C sale to Egypt, one of five foreign countries that already operate the plane. This is all great news for Northrop's plant in St. Augustine, Florida, which manufactures the advanced Hawkeye's airframe, and its facility in Bethpage, New York, where the radar and other electronics are built. Oh, and Northrop is also awaiting congressional approval on a deal from the U.S. Navy for another 75 E-2Ds. That's worth $10 billion over 10 years. U.S. scheduled passenger airlines employed 3.5% more workers in October 2007 than they did in October 2006, according to the Department of Transportation. It's the ninth consecutive month in which full-time equivalent employee levels for scheduled passenger carriers were above the same month of the previous year. Among legacy airlines, Delta led the way with an increase of 8.8%. Alaska Airlines came in second at 4.5%. United Airlines saw an increase, and while it was less than 0.1%, that's still the first time the airline's employment numbers have gone up since September 2001. Northwest was the only legacy carrier to report a decrease in October 2007 over the same period in 2006, with full-time staffing numbers down 3.4%. FTE calculations count two part-time employees as one full-timer. Among low-cost carriers, all of them but ATA posted employment gains over 2006. Among regionals, American Eagle, SkyWest, ExpressJet, Comair, Horizon, Pinnacle, Mesaba, Mesa, Executive Airlines, PSA, Republic, and GoJet all increased their FTEs over last year. And finally, airport security lines get longer at the holidays. But it's not just increased passenger volume that does it. It's also the fact that many of the travelers this time of year don't fly often, and as a result, well, let's just say they're not well acquainted with security procedures and they slow the line down. The fact that many are carrying gifts in their carry-ons makes things even more interesting. There's also been a rash of holiday-related confiscations, like more than 3.5 ounces of canned pumpkin pie filling, honey, or the water in snow globes. And please don't bring wrapped gifts in carry-ons. Screeners may have to unwrap them to check the contents, and you may not be satisfied with the care they take in doing so. Among the more interesting discoveries recently by security screeners were a two-headed snake in Newark, several hermit crabs in San Antonio, and 10 human eyeballs in a carry-on at Chicago O'Hare, reportedly being transported for medical purposes. So, the moral of the story is, plan ahead. Check the TSA list if you're not sure, and if you're packing your carry-on for a trip originating from Chicago O'Hare, keep your eye out. That's the latest from Aero News. Audience groans out loud. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear part two of my interview with retired Air Force Colonel Rich Graham, one of the pilots of the SR-71 Blackbird. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.